Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, I'm Sarah, and this is The Whispering Woods. This is the Listener and Reddit Stories episode, and I've got three stories to share today. They're all from Reddit. If you'd like your story featured on the show, you can email it to thewhisperingwoodspodcast@gmail.com. We'll get straight into the stories, and this one's written by rycollie123. Thanks so much for letting us share your story. This is rather long, so I do apologise in advance. I found it made more sense to give a little bit of backstory, rather than just dive straight in. I grew up incredibly close with my parents, from childhood to the teen years to adulthood. They were always there for me. My fiancé and I have been together for almost 15 years now. And we have a 12-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter. Despite having our own home and raising our own family, the kids and I would still go to my parents every single weekend for Saturday night sleepovers, which consisted of ice cream, movies, and just being with one another. They were the best. I loved being with them. And I loved that our children wanted to be with them. My parents were together for 35 loving, wonderful years. They had a relationship that I admired and wanted to emulate. My dad was a jack of all trades, who could do it all, or at least try to do it all. This will tie into the story. He was hilarious, kind, silly, always happy and full of life. My mum was an angel on earth. She was oftentimes too kind, full of love, sweet and generous to a fault at times. They were my best friends. I lost my dad in November 22 and unfortunately lost my mother 4 months later. Without going into too much detail, my life became a whirlwind of depression and sadness. I'm still trying to piece my life back together, but some days it's impossible. Now that there's a bit of backstory, allow me to get into the story. Several years ago, one of the fuses at my parents' home blew. My dad, being the jack of all trades type of fella he was, figured that he could fix it no problem. In doing so, he ended up somehow blowing more fuses, which cut off lights to the upstairs portion of their home. Lamps could be plugged in, but no lights that were wired into the ceiling would turn on. Now, my parents were simple folk. They didn't need much of anything to be happy. So lights that wouldn't turn on? Not a big deal to them. It stayed like that for years. My mother was buried on a Monday. I remember the day like it just happened. After the service, my fiancé and I had some friends and family over to eat, hang out, and just be there for one another. People started filing out around 10 that evening. The next day, I receive a message and photo from my parents' neighbour, who was at our home the prior night. The photo depicted my parents' home lit up that Monday night. I thought, maybe my fiancé had gone in to gather some of my belongings and forgot to turn lights off. Nothing too out of the ordinary, until I noticed the upper portion of my parents' home. Windows lit up as clear as day, despite there being absolutely no electricity to the upstairs of their home for years. I immediately asked my fiancé if he'd been in or turned anything on, and he stated that the last people in the home were the paramedics, who turned everything off as protocol and locked up. I still can't explain how my parents' home was lit up the night of my mum's service. I like to think it was my mum and dad letting me know that they were home. I do have pictures of the home that I can add. I just can't figure out how to do it on this post. First time poster. I apologise for the long-winded story. I love you, Dad. I love you, Mum. And I miss you both more each day. So bittersweet, that story. It's also lovely. I found it really comforting. What I really loved is that the parents, when the lights all went out, and they just kind of went, ah, well, we'll manage. I love that attitude towards life. Oh, well, what are we going to do now? You know? And really, just that they were probably so content with each other's company, it sounds, that, you know, it just wasn't a big deal. Love it. And thanks again for letting us share that story. Loved it. Now, the next story is from a deleted user. I need help. Let me start off by saying, it took a lot of convincing to even share my story. I don't know what to feel. What I do know, as of typing this, the activity is ramping up tenfold. I'm wary of sharing any actual names, including my own, as you might see why. And before you go off immediately writing this off as someone high on drugs, trying to make a poor ghost story, I assure you I'm not. This is my story that myself and three others know of. I'm not here to convince you of anything. I'm only here for two reasons. To see if anyone has had the same experience or can help me in ridding this thing. So with all that out of the way, let's start. I will name myself John. I was 21 at the time of this incident. I'm now 22. I worked many different jobs, mainly the food industry. My father was part of the HQ staff of a security company that still operates today. I eventually decided to try my hand in something completely different. Security, of course. I worked for the company for about 8 months as a level 2 officer. And after about 1 year, I moved up to a level 3 officer. Level 3 is someone who's authorised to carry and handcuff, according to the company's policies and the client's policies. I was moved to my first ever post as a level 3, a hospital located in San Antonio, Texas. I will not give out the name. Anyway, I worked at said hospital for about 3 months, until I was told there was an abandoned section of the hospital. I was offered a tour. Before I go further, I should explain who was with me upon entering the abandoned section. First up is Agent Y. Agent Y was a former Secret Service agent who retired and eventually ended up in the security company I was in. Next up is Marine 1 and 2. As the name suggests, these two were former Marines. One was infantry, who was in the Battle of Falua, and continued to see more action for another 6 years before leaving. Marine 2 was a former drill instructor. I'm saying this as a point of reference to show you that these people were not some wannabe thugs taken off the street to become some lousy security officers. In fact, 70% of the company are of military or law enforcement background. Anyways, Agent Y was my supervisor of the site. Each site needed a supervisor. I won't go into detail about that. Agent Y also happened to be the hospital's main security supervisor. Agent Y and Marines 1 and 2 all went with me to the abandoned section. We all had our own flashlights. We explored essentially the whole building without any incident. Until we reached the ICU. God damn it. I'm crying as I type this. This will haunt me until I die. We reached the ICU. We were stopped as there was a three-fork way. Each hall had a miniature hall connecting to the next. All three hallways were parallel to each other. We decided on the far left one and continued down. The plan was to go down all the way, circle back, and take the next hallways. If it weren't for what I was about to experience, it was almost entrancing to see all the equipment and whatnot left there to rot. We reached the end of the first hallway, when before all of us could turn around, Agent Y was first to notice that Marine 2 was fixated on a doorway. When we all turned in the direction of Marine 2, I immediately felt sick, like I was going to vomit violently. It started to smell like rotten meat. This all took place within a span of 3 seconds. When we all faced the doorway, we all immediately noticed it. It was peeking at us from the top of the doorway. I need to step away for a moment. It stared at us from the top of the doorway. I was more immediately drawn to its eyes. I would have expected normal eyes, but instead, I was met with inky blackness. There were voids where its eyes should have been. Marine 1 was first to run, followed by Marine 2. I then ran next, my heart pounding. As I was running, I noticed Agent Y outrunning me. For some god-awful reason, I was compelled to turn around to see if it was chasing us. The damn thing was floating towards us. From here, I'm not sure what happened, as my brain blacked out. But what I do know is that a few months later, the abandoned building was destroyed. I genuinely wish it would stop here, but it gets worse. Agent Y, 3 weeks after the building's demolition, he committed suicide. A few days later, Marine 1 died under unknown circumstances. I tried to live my life without acknowledging what I saw, but I still see that godforsaken thing in the corner of my eye. I fear I'm next. Any advice would be of genuine help. Well, what can I say about that? Peeping things, that's enough to terrify me for sure. I think out of all the abandoned places that you could come across, like schools, you know, we've spoken about those before, shopping centres, that kind of thing, I think the worst would be an abandoned hospital, because potentially lots of people have lost their life there. And so where are you going to hang about if you're a ghost? Yeah. And peeping things. No, thank you. I'm not into that at all. Mind you, I'd really like to see one, if I'm honest. Just like I'd really like to work the night shift. But probably only for a day. Right, let's move on to the next story. Thanks so much, Illyrian, for letting us share this story. I really, really appreciate it. I was at a loss with what to do with my life after getting out of the Marines. I took quite a bit of time off from being a responsible adult in an attempt to decompress from 6 years of intense structure. Shortly thereafter, I realised I couldn't function properly without that structure. Just like that, Facebook targeted me with a life advertisement, like it had read my thoughts. My small town city police department is looking for a full-time patrol officer. It makes sense. It's the closest I'll ever get to the fulfillment of serving one's country, serving my community instead. Being a cop would give me the structure and order I needed. I could even help people on a more personal level, more than I ever felt as a Marine. Just made sense. So that's what I did. Interviews, background checks, drugs tests, and the academy, and then I was in. Sort of. I may have been a sergeant of Marines, with a few medals to display and an oak shadow box. But now I'm just a rookie. As such, I had to ride with a field training officer. I may have graduated the academy, but that's only the basics. Boot camp, so to speak. Now I'm partnered to a veteran cop with 15 plus years on the force. Officer, I'll call him D for privacy, was easily respected, firm but fair, by the book, and seemed to know everything about anything. I couldn't have found a better training officer. He recognised what I had done in life up to that point and respected me for it. Treated me like an adult. I couldn't ask for more. So the months went by. We responded to car accidents, domestic calls, disputes of all kinds, and even a few funny, in my opinion, calls. Like a lady hitting her husband over the head with a ladle because he said her chili was bad. A story for another time, perhaps. We worked the night shift. Less chaotic for a new guy, I suppose. Part of our duties was checking up on the local government buildings throughout the night. I may have mentioned it was a smaller town, but we had recently had a new courthouse and jail built. The old courthouse was repurposed into a lot of smaller offices. DMV, water board, county clerk, registrar, property, deeds, etc. The attached old jail was for the most part simply abandoned. The old jail is connected to the old courthouse by a third-story skybridge. I guess the idea was, if you were sentenced to jail time, they could march you right over into the jail. It was a quiet night on one particular shift, so Officer D suggests we should knock out our nightly checks before things inevitably get not so quiet. It's about midnight, so we cruise over to the old courthouse to get started. We pull right up to the main entrance, and I get out and approach the doors like I've done for months already. Just a quick tug to make sure it's secure. But the doors swing open. From the cruiser, I hear the straight-laced Officer D simply state, "Hell." Hell. My eloquent response is, "Why hell?" See, the courthouse, old or new, is the Sheriff's Department domain. When it's found unlocked in the middle of the night, it means getting the Sheriff out of bed. So that's what we did. And Sheriff J did not disappoint. this man showed up wearing pajama pants and a gun. He called a few sheriff's deputies in the area to assist, because we now have to go into this large three-story building and search the entire thing to ensure no one has wandered in. Eerie does not even begin to describe it. You know what I mean, if you've ever been inside of a mall or school well beyond after hours. A place normally bustling with activity, being so still and so quiet, is disconcerting. But nevertheless, we had a job to do. So myself, Officer D, two sheriff's deputies, and our pajama-clad sheriff began to sweep the first floor of the building. One thing I did notice is the place had those motion-activated hallway lights that click on one by one as you progress further in. Other than that little observation, it was routine. On to the second floor, more offices. Some I knew, some I didn't. No sign of anyone or anything out of place. We've more or less split up at this point to cover more ground a little quicker. It's clear that Sheriff J would like to go back to sleep. I turn a corner and I met with a long, dark hallway. No office's doors in sight, just a single door at the end with a sign identifying it as a stairwell. On the right side of the hall were many large windows overlooking the parking lot. I began the trek to the stairwell, glanced out the windows, down at our cruisers, then up to the third floor. I met with the same hallway as the floor below, windows now on my left as I moved towards the main hall. This is where all the old courtrooms are. Going into the first courtroom, I was met with a once majestic and dignified room, reduced to an oversized and disorganized filing cabinet. Manila folders stacked high as far as the eye could see. It was a hoarder's dream, and downright perilous to walk through. I wanted to check out the old sky bridge, but it was sealed tight. Oh well, I search the room as best I can and find nothing. So I stumble out of that life-sized game of bureaucratic Jenga and move on. But it looks like the other guys already finished up the other two courtrooms and were waiting for me. We came up empty-handed, and that was the best-case scenario. So we head back down to the first floor and leave out of the main entrance. Sheriff J securing the doors behind us. We congregate by the cruisers and we're swapping stories about what each of us saw. It's not every day you get to explore an old courthouse at night, after all. The minutes tick by and the building has long since gone dark again, the lights turning off with a lack of motion to activate them. Until one did, on the third floor, and another, in succession, as if someone was walking the hallway as I just had, not 15 minutes before. Five law enforcement officers stood stock still, watching this happen until the entire hall was illuminated once more. Then, as the last light activated, a dark figure peered around the edge of the window and then leaned back out of sight. A moment of hesitation from everyone present before Sheriff J charged the door, jamming the key in and whipping the door open. The sheriff and his deputies run to the left staircase while Officer D and I burst into the right stairwell. We rush to the third floor and both groups stop at each end of the main hall for a moment of unspoken communication. We had just run down the side hall where this person, thing, just was. It was a lot colder than before. I stayed at the L intersection on my side, while a deputy stayed at the L intersection at the opposite end. There are then only two staircases in the building, no elevators either, so we have this person cornered. Sheriff J, Officer D, and the other deputy then meticulously start clearing the courtrooms again. I stayed at my intersection, constantly looking between the younger deputy across from me and the hallway that had already begun to go dark again. It was a tense 20 minutes that felt like days, but the three senior cops came out of the last courtroom looking baffled. Sheriff Jay, now looking more than awake, signalled our departure. We once again left the building, locked it up behind us. There wasn't much talking like before, but each one of us took one last long look at that hallway before leaving.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yes, another peeper. Love this story. I've got a few things in common with the author. I need structure, otherwise I lose myself. I go a bit mad. Doesn't take much. But I do need structure. I've kind of got used to this new routine whilst I've got this year off work. I seem to be getting there, you know. I get up, I write loads of stuff in the diary that I've got to do. Trying to do a bit of exercise, but that kind of doesn't always get the tick. But I do need structure in my life for sure. I think I'd also maybe hit somebody over the head if they didn't like my cooking. Sounds fair. And I'm of the opinion that my phone listens to me too. Because so random, you know, when you're talking with someone, you look at your phone, quite often there'll be an advert for something you've been talking about. So they're stalking us. But thanks again so much for letting us share that story. And that brings us to the end of this episode. We will catch you again when I'll be back with Toby on Monday. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/The Whispering Woods. We've got a number of tiers there. There's just a tip one, that's a pound. For £3, you can listen to all of these episodes ad-free. And for £5, you get an extra mini episode every week. Take care, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.